Never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Yes, episode 145 of The Sports Trench is here. And I've got the two usual suspects with me, starting with one Foolsy. How are you, my friend?
I'm awful.
Awful?
I'm awful.
Why are you awful?
Well, last night I did not win $150 million.
I don't think a lot of people did.
Yeah, well, I was pretty keen on it.
I think a lot of people were.
Nah, not like I was, mate. I had it all planned out.
Yeah.
Going to walk into the office this morning, start pegging cash at people, spraying them with champagne. Saying, here's my hand over dickhead and pegs my notebook at someone.
So, look.
Yeah.
You were never winning $150.
Well, you know what? You got to be in it to win it.
And they always say, don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Well, I counted them. I counted all of them.
Right. Well, so went into debt because of this then?
Well,
signed some contracts.
Yeah, signed some pretty bad contracts. Yeah, I own a couple of houses. I probably shouldn't.
Right. Well, you can gamble them and make them a million houses this
week.
That's
a good point.
Did you go and buy the Gold Coast Titans?
Yes, but I could have done that before the lotto.
And Muffy, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm good, thank you, mate.
That's good.
I don't know. It's been, I don't know what's happened this week.
Nothing.
We had snow in certain areas. Mm. Not here. Not in Q-Town.
What a good story this is.
That's crazy.
In Japan, on the ski fields, they had snow.
New Zealand, in the mountains.
Yeah, there is snow.
No, there was near the coast. There was like 30 k's off the coast. There was snow.
Mm. Right. You live a very exciting life.
Hey, weather excites me.
Weather.
Yep.
That's how you get down.
Yep. Big fan of cumulonimbus and storms. Anyway, I don't think there's been much excitement for me this week.
Barometric pressure, is that what gets you down?
Please.
Stop it.
Stop
talking
come on,
dirty.
It's a family show, Pete. Come on. So what's been happening with you, Pete? If Fulzy, who would you say would be the coach of this little podcast here?
I think we're both co-coaches.
Oh, God. Well, we both know that's not true.
Yeah, nah. So, really, who would you think would be the coach? Who would you go, all right, the coach of this team is X?
Look, no comment. Me. I would think me.
All right. You're a moron.
As a coach, then, what would you say if one of your star players was out past curfew getting on the beers before a big podcast?
Oh, I would cut them.
Well,
I'd cut
Pete, what have you got to say for yourself?
Look, you know, when you're up there with high society sometimes, you know, you've got to schmooze some people and
kiss them babies.
Wheel and deal and things like that, you know, I'm a big deal at Cracker Factory. We've discussed this. So.
Did you say you deal crack?
No.
Oh, yeah,
not does. Yet. But
he does.
But if this job doesn't go well, I think, you know, we may have to change careers.
So what were you doing? Midweek hobnobbing?
Yes, it was the Telstra Small Business Awards in the ACT last night.
Mm.
And our business was nominated for an award. Didn't win, unfortunately. So had to drown our sorrows. It was good. I've only been at the job for 2 months, and I hadn't been there the previous 12 months, which they'd not been nominated for. So just,
Oh, so it's all down to you. So you are a big deal at the Cracker Factory.
Yeah, I told you this.
Yeah, anyway, well.
Number one, Alex Fuller is definitely not the coach of this podcast.
Well, he is.
He is an absolute moron. Number two, it's definitely me. I heard you.
What?
I heard you cats every single week around this paddock. And eventually we get to the end of the show.
Disagree.
which is everyone's favourite part of the week.
Disagree.
There's a dissension in the ranks. We want an early release.
Yeah, we do. Coach. I'm out. All right.
Fulzy, I'll let you run the show next week.
No, I'm okay.
Oh, good leadership I'm shown busy. There by the coach. Anyway, what have we got this week, lads? Well, we're going to talk about the finals, the first week of the finals, which have just been and gone. Look, 58-0 is probably going to be our biggest talking point. Finals week two, we're going to do some questions. Got some questions I'm going to ask.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fire away, coach.
No, we've got to wait. Oh, okay. Come on. See, okay, this is why you shouldn't be leading this.
Yeah, no, Mike.
Look, they're written down here. We can see them.
Oh. Should I ask one now?
No. Okay. Simona says Grevis should gamble. We'll be in, and we've got the news
I think
to start off
one
with.
Of them's a statement, not a question.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
a statement.
Anyway, news, Pete.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Yeah, look, focus.
The good, the bad, and the...
Hungover.
From the trenches.
Not hungover.
You still look- drunk.
I'm not hungover. I'm just a little tired, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. My fuse is just a little short because I'm tired. All right.
Oh, it is our chance to keep poking him. Poke the bear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I hate you guys so much. All right, gents. First news story is the Broncos. Muffy alluded to this already in his spiel at the start. Apparently, a number of players, up to four, were out prior to the big game, and they were at a local pub gambling.
Up to four? I actually officially read it was six.
Okay.
And they weren't... They were all names that you know.
Look, yeah. Fifita, Milford, they're the two I knew.
Gillett, Andrew McCulloch,
yep.
Payne Haas... Someone else.
There was
Gemmett
one more.
Sibisharky, maybe. I don't know.
No, you're throwing shade on our mate and the German samurai there.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, he probably deserves it.
Yeah.
So anyway, they were out before the big game. They were gambling near their hotel. They did arrive back by about midnight. However, apparently, a few stories have come out since then. Milford didn't know what time he was playing the following day. Which is an interesting one. He thought he was playing at 6 o'clock, not 4 o'clock. So that's interesting. All the players left except for Fifita. He was still playing by himself.
What have you got focus. A Fifita?
See what you did there. A Fifita.
Yeah. Nailed it.
You did. Yeah, how long did it think take you to think of that?
That was
one?
On the spot. That's why
really?
I'm a coach, yeah. In game adjustment.
No, I think that's why you're probably the Robbie Farah of this podcast.
Whoa, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
So anyway, boys, look, what do we think about this? Do you have a problem with it? And since then, it's come out that they're doing a big review. Seabold's fuming about this, and their Mad Monday was muted because of said.
I think due to the letter of the law, like within the Broncos, they haven't actually broken any sort of rules or restrictions that the Broncos place on them. Because they were in by curfew, they all were back at the breakfast at 7 a.m. the next morning. According to reports I read, no one saw anyone drinking. They were just on the pokes.
Why is this a story?
But with that, well, again, it's not a... Well, it's a story because they got absolutely touted 58-0. Yeah.
I think they would have got touted 58-0 regardless.
I think so. I mean, I think...
This is the most outrageous beat-up of a story I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a beat-up, but again, because they lose so heavily, and again, it's not the best thing, is it, to... If you're in the finals, this is what teams strive for 25 rounds to get to this position, and... It's the perception of you're seeing that, we don't really care. We're just going to go about it. It doesn't hurt to really bunker down for a weekend, go out and play the game, and then, come Monday, do what the hell you want outside the cameras. Again, they may not have broken any rules, but I just think perception, it just doesn't look good for the team.
Yeah, I totally disagree with this. I just think it's bullshit.
So you don't think it looks bad?
I think, you know what? What does it really matter? Like last night, I was out. Am I going to work today? Am I going to perform? Yes. Like This is ridiculous. This is absolutely outrageous.
It's yet to be seen whether he'll perform. You're very confident.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's because he's still drunk.
Stop it.
Yeah, I don't see a huge distinction between staying up in the hotel room watching TV versus being next door and having a slap.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it really, this does not affect their performance in one way, shape, or form at all. Like, they've done nothing wrong. The issue here is, I believe, Seibold and his overzealous coaching ways, which was alluded to earlier in the year by Sam Burgess when Wayne Bennett arrived and he said, Wayne brings a bit more of a relaxed atmosphere. And
that's, yeah, well,
and
that's
we're kind of happy.
Well, as we've seen, Wayne dancing in the sheds. Yeah. It's an actual party over
and
there.
And so you look at it, yes, they're a young squad and they've got to learn things, but Seibold cut a number of players from this squad, a number of experienced players from this squad. He doesn't like the style from a number of players, which is fine, but you know what? You set the rules. It was curfew was this. They made curfew. What's your problem? Makes me very angry.
Does he have a problem with it?
Seibold.
Does he come out and said that he's got a problem?
Oh, yeah. He's doing a full-scale review of the club. And he's basically, they're just... So's Paul White, the CEO. He said, that's it. We're doing a review of this.
I think the only thing is perception. It's public perception. That's the only thing. And again, whether they would have got beat 58-0. I think the main reason that this is a story, Pete, is because of the scoreline.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but so... And again, that's it. Look, the team was not good, but let's look back. Whose fault is that? Who does it lie with at the start? And Seibold's like, oh yeah, this is, you know, partially on me. No, it's all on you. You're the coach. This is it. A 58-0 performance is on you. Mm. All right? Your players may not have turned up,
but
why didn't they turn
up?
It's
your job to get them ready for the final.
Exactly.
For the game.
Absolutely. And he did not get them ready for the game. Anyway, moving on. Phil Gould.
I think he's the coach, Fulzy, I had to say.
He's
very fired up. He gets very.
Phil, shut up, you two.
Okay.
Right?
Sorry.
I'm sick of you.
See, definitely coach.
Yeah. Gould has offered to fix the NRL for free, which is a really kind
offer. No thanks, mate.
He has said that he would happily go in and be a voice of reason for Todd Greenberg and fix the NRL. It was suggested on Nine's Footy Files or whatever it is.
Does he have a list of what's wrong to fix?
Oh, look.
Because you can't fix a problem if you don't know what the problem is, Pete.
Mm. Oh, I think it's everything. It's the vibe. It's
the vibe. General vibe.
It's Marbo. It's the photo. It's the photocopier. It's everything.
Yeah.
Vibe. Imagine Phil Gould walking in to fix the vibe.
I think I'd rather Dennis Denudo, really, than Phil Gould, to be honest.
So anyway, what do we think about Phil Gould coming in to fix the game of Rugby League, Alex?
No thanks.
Just no thanks?
No. Well, the NRL is not going to say, yes, please, Phil, come in. No.
He's doing a review of St. George Illawarra for free. What a good guy he is.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the result there. Mary has to go.
Mary asked for the review, so I don't think that's going to be the.
He's smart, Mary, isn't he? Yeah. Saving his skin there. He's like, I'll be the one that will organise the review. So, I look like I'm being proactive.
You know what? Cost you nothing. I got a guy to do it for free.
Yeah.
Oh, well done, Mary. Here's another 12-year extension.
Oh, dear. All right, well, let's move on then, shall we? We should probably talk about the first week of the finals that's just been...
Okay.
Oh, hang on.
What are you doing?
The Sports Trench.
Thank you, madam.
Literally, we have the same issue every week where you get surprised that we're coming to the
end. I wasn't...
Eight. You skip one.
No, you just carry on.
Yeah, right. You just get out of here.
It's what you get for being late.
Exactly. The coach has already discussed that.
I pushed the button. It just was not going.
Technology.
Mm.
I'll do... Hang on.
The reception here in Studio Q is a little dodgy this morning.
I am willing to do a full review of this podcast for free and fix it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, next week.
Yeah.
We want you to review it and then... read your findings next week.
Yeah, recommendations need to be for next week.
Yep, I'll table them. pre-podcast.
This is going to be 5 minutes of bullcrap that you come up with. Anyway, look, Friday, 13th September, Roosters v. the Rabbitohs. Roosters smacking the Rabbitohs in a return bout from the previous week. Muffy.
I could sort of see this the writing on the wall for this one even before the game started. The Roosters, the previous
30-6. Did you see that? Was it on the wall?
Well, no. I saw a Roosters victory, and I thought it would be comfortable because last week they weren't. The Roosters weren't the Roosters. They rested players. The Bunnies, I think, like that gave the Bunnies a bit of self confidence, a bit of self belief. But the Roosters, I mean, just say they started super fast, not just fast, super fast,
super fast.
Yeah, so 26-0 at halftime in this game. And essentially, it was probably over in 30 minutes because they had scored 4 tries in 30 minutes. The Bunnies just had no answer. Their field position was horrible. Their possession, I think they only had in the first half, I think they were about 35 to 39% possession. So they didn't have the ball. And again, very tough to score when you don't have a ball. But again, they didn't score again until like the middle ways.
Did you just say very tough to score when you don't have a ball?
Yes, Pete.
That needs to be in your review.
That's actually factual.
I was going to say that's factually correct. In fact, it's not very tough. It's, I would say, impossible.
Yeah, it's right. It's close.
Yeah. I don't know. What do we think about this game? Do we think that this means that the Roosters? I mean, not that we didn't think the Roosters weren't contenders, but. Do we think that Souths are pretty much now done? And do we think that the Roosters can...
Mate, you're preempting questions from later on. Like, ooh. So if you had read the run sheet, like...
How do we feel about the... That says Rabbitohs and Storm. Doesn't say anything about the Roosters. I'm asking about the Roosters, Pete.
Ooh. Look.
How about you read your own... smell what you're shoveling.
That. However, you asked about Souths as well. So that's
all right. All right. Let's not get pedantic. All right. Let's talk about the Roosters.
Wait. So you got pedantic and then you said, I should not get pedantic.
Yes. This is what a true coach does.
Yeah. No, you're a moron.
Finer details.
Look, the Roosters did what they should have, and they're clearly the second best, if not the best team in the comp.
Yeah. I reckon they're a chance.
Yes. What else happened in this game? Boyd Cordner got a bit of a hamstring / leg injury at some point. He was on the bike for most of the second half. Didn't come back on after the first half. I'm assuming that was just precautionary. They didn't need to put him back on there if he was...
Not when they were killing him early.
Yeah, so anyway, look, I don't really... The finals, it seems to start... It didn't start off great, and it didn't finish great with score lines, with both teams, you know, absolutely blowing the other team away. There wasn't, again, I didn't find a lot in this game apart from South Sydney were completely outclassed.
Absolutely. All right, moving on to Saturday, 14 September, Raiders 12 defeating the Storm 10. Where's my music?
Yeah.
Like, come on, mate.
All right, you just carry on, Matt. Jesus. I'll get your music. You'll be talking about this for the next 10 minutes. There's plenty of time for music.
Anyway, this was an interesting game from the fact that at the start of the match, Joey Leilua copped a firework to the eye and had to be substituted before actually even playing a minute on the field. Need to do a review of fireworks, I think, this week.
I'll do that.
Yeah, right, good. Yeah, you'll do it for free. Yeah, you're a good guy. So, anyway, it was a pretty interesting start for the Raiders as Joey's sitting there trying to get this bit of firework out. Bailey Simonson coming back into the side scored the first try for the Raiders 3 minutes in. So, he was on the bench and then all of a sudden he gets himself a try.
Did he start the game at centre?
No, he started the game on the wing.
Kotrick
moved to the centre.
Here you go, Pete.
I'm outraged because I had a bit of a dabble on the first two tries being wingers, which they were, but he wasn't in jersey 2 or 5.
According to
who? Oh, according to...
Well, he wasn't. He was in jersey 14.
Well, that's still cheating. So any winger to score first, and they didn't pay me.
Don't you worry. We'll get to the bets later in this podcast, my friend.
Good for you. Anyway... Simonson went over and the Raiders were all over the Storm early on in the game. It was 6-0. It looks like a couple of more times that the Raiders should have gone over. They had the majority of possession in the first half and were really killing the Storm. Storm were very error-riddled in the first half and did not complete sets and were just poor initially. They got a penalty goal late in the half to make it 6-2 at halftime. Whatever Bellamy said at halftime, they came out and they picked up what he was putting down because Suliasi Vunivalu scored a try straight away. Two quick penalty goals then from Cameron Smith, and within the first 10 minutes of the half, the Storm were in front, and you thought this was potentially going to be a bit of basically the Raiders laying down and going to get absolutely smacked in the second half. However, the Raiders stepped up and their D was excellent. Both sides, again, though, had trouble completing at different stages during the second half and finishing off, essentially. Finally, John Bateman goes over for a try in the 75th or 77th minute after Addo Carr made a huge mistake.
Yeah, that hasn't been spoken about a lot, has it?
He said he's moved on.
Well, he has to. What else is he going to do?
But yeah, so Addo Carr basically threw the ball into the Raiders' defensive line.
I don't know what he got swung around, but it didn't look like the ball came out super easy.
Yeah.
So it's like he was clearly in the motion of trying to pass it, I think.
Yeah. And then Joey Leilua just picked it up, ran sideways, gave a little Benji flick pass, and all of a sudden,
Little Johnny had the sense to run inside. Him,
I know, because he was screwing it up badly. Yep. Oh, I saw that. Don't you worry about that. But little Johnny Bateman gets himself a try, and the Raiders got up 12-10 in a big win for the Raiders. A second win in Melbourne in the last month. It's big.
Well, and I think are they the first team for like 10 years or something to beat Melbourne twice in the one season? There's some sort of stat. I don't even think it might be Melbourne at home.
I know your head stat. Like,
but it might have been, even just beating Melbourne twice in one season, I think is extremely rare, and the Raiders have done it. And been both times have been in Melbourne, which is even, you know, a bigger feat, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, really, really big win. For the Storm, I'm not going to read too much into it. I think they're going to come out this week and really put the Eels to the sword and step into a Roosters grand final rematch in the prelim final. All right.
Before we move on, Pete, can I ask a question?
You can.
I don't know, Fulzy, I'm not sure if you want to be in this.
Yeah, don't
involve
him.
I'm in.
Look, I've got a question. Can I need to ask a question. Can I get on board?
Oh, get on the bandwagon. I already allowed you.
Fulzy, you want on?
Nah, I'm out.
I did get a message from Garth asking if he too could join the bandwagon. And I said, jump on, get on that bandwagon. We're bringing everyone along.
Is this now a formal invite for anyone?
Oh, you want to ride the train? Jump on that bandwagon. Let's do it. Absolutely.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Get on board.
I'm glad.
All right.
I'm on.
Excellent. Moving on, Saturday, 14 September. Seagulls 28, defeating the Sharks 16.
Yes,
in
they
a
did.
A bit of an upset, I feel.
I don't think so.
Is this where your bet fell apart, Fulzy?
No, I got this one.
It fell apart before this.
No, actually, one of the teams I bet on lost by 58.
And you didn't have that as the line?
No, I didn't, actually. I should have gone plus 60. I'm really happy for Manly. They've been trying hard all year. They've had a ton of injuries, and I think they've done amazingly with what they've had. They even had a debutant in this finals game and another player in their front row it was only his second game. For the Sharks, it just never really clicked this year despite all the talent. Although it should be acknowledged they too have dealt with some pretty key ins and outs all year. Manly just came out and blitzed them. They got out to 18-0 by the 20th minute. Sharks weren't ready from the start. They did claw their way back, but it felt like Manly's to lose. And they showed a ton of heart to sort of hang on and get there in the end. For Manly, all their forwards were exceptional, especially some of these young guys coming in and playing in that second row with their second rowers out, their usual starting second rowers out. They were great. And DCE must be very close to a Dally M. He's been exceptional all year, and he was exceptional again in this game.
I don't know. I think he went missing for about 8 weeks during the year, DCE. I really think he did. If he gets a Dally M, I think I'd be pretty disappointed.
Oh, well, I'll be disappointed that you're disappointed.
Oh, thanks, yeah. Man.
So that, and they're my bandwagon. I love it. I love it. Scrappy little Manly.
God, I hate you more than anyone.
Scrappy little Manly. Known.
Like, you going for Manly. That's disgusting.
I know.
There's something wrong with you.
If you told me that 5 years ago, I would have punched you in the face. If you said, Alex, you're going to go for Manly in the finals.
Seriously.
What? Look, they've inspired me.
To do what?
As a just scrappy little scamp. And
you're not going to
succeed in life.
You've never had to scrap for anything.
Yeah, I'm like the epitome of white privilege.
Yeah, white middle class privilege.
it's pretty good.
That is 100% you.
But I can empathize with Manly and their struggle this year, and I just like it. I just think they've done very well.
You probably belong on the Northern Beaches with the Silver Tails or whatever they're called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Latte sip. No, that's the Roosters.
I'm a cappuccino.
He's not quite in Rooster territory, but he's close.
Nah.
Well, you are. Nah. Anyway. look, Manly were way better in this game, and if they did lose it, it would have been an absolute tragedy for them. Sharks were just disgustingly poor, which has been their whole year. Like, 1 week really good, the next week absolutely horrendous, and they were good the week before, so they were due to be horrendous. Paul Gallen lost his last game.
So I mean, he was always going to lose his last game.
I think he lost his 50th, 100th, 150th, 200th, 250th. Lost his last game. Or 300? Did he get to 300? I don't think he did.
Yeah, he did. And he lost that too.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. That is a record. I don't think that one's ever been broken.
Probably not.
Pretty bad.
But,
right?
Yeah, look, as Fulsey mentioned, I think it's been that year for the Sharks. They sort of promised a lot and didn't deliver, and this was another one where they were expected to win, to be honest, and they just couldn't do it.
All right. Moving on then to Sunday, 15 September. Eels 58, destroying the Broncos to nil. Boys, what the hell was this? Like, from the 12th minute when Jennings went over, so it took 12 minutes for him to go over. 12th minute, Jennings. 17th minute, Moses. 20th minute, Ferguson. 32nd minute, Lane. 39th minute, Sivo. 48th minute, Sivo. 52nd minute, Brown. 70th minute, Moroa. 73rd minute, Moses. 76th minute, Brown. 79th minute, Alvaro.
The last 10 minutes of this game is what I think has put all the pressure on the Broncos.
24 points in 10 minutes.
Exactly. They scored, they scored 18 points in like 7 minutes. Like, it was disgusting. Like, the Broncos, yes, you're getting absolutely pantsed, but you could see it. They just gave up, and to let 24 points in the last 10 minutes is disgusting. And that's, I think, what has sunk this team. I mean, I suppose in their eyes, what's the difference getting beat 58-0 to what it would have been like?
It could have been
like 42-0 or something. Mm-hmm. But, the difference is you've got the highest ever score against you in the NRL final series in the history of over the 100-year history of the NRL. The next team was the Jets, I think, got flogged in 1944 by like 55-7 or something. So the Broncos hold that record.
Could have been more if Moses could have kicked. Wherein he missed 4 straight kicks from the 20th minute through till Sivo's in the 48th.
He missed
4 straight. Now, a couple of those were difficult. Even if he kicks, 3 of those, like 60-0, like it could have been. Like, it could have been much better.
Yeah.
64-0 if he kicked 3.
Yes. Well, okay. You know what I like about you?
Not much.
Mm. Well, no, if he's missed 4, then it would have been 66-0.
Yeah, but Pete said if he kicked even 3 of those.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. Well, that would have been 64.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Very helpful.
Good pick up, Fulsey.
Yeah, no worries. Well, this is why I'm deputy stat.
Anyway, I don't think there's anything you can say about the Broncos. That if it was poor, like, they were just not good attacking-wise whatsoever. And I think the Eels were made to look good by a poor side. I didn't think they were overly amazing. It took them 12 minutes to get over, and then it took them another 10 minutes in the second half. I think anyone would have put nearly 60 points.
Yeah. And look, credit to the Eels, but anyone who watched this game, it was one of those purple patch games where every single thing that the Eels did come off, whether it was a kick, whether it was a chip, whether it was a cutout pass, fans, like...
What's the difference between a kick and a chip?
Oh, a kick is long and a chip is short. Come on, mate. This should be pretty really? Self-explanatory.
Really? All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you also can eat a chip. You can't eat a kick, can you? No.
Yeah, that's boom. A good point.
Oh, God, I'm so
you don't have gravy on
I'm
a
so
kick.
Sharp this morning.
Yeah.
So sharp.
You are not. Incorrect. Yeah, look, anyway, the less said about the Broncos, the better, I feel. Anyway, we're going to probably talk about them again in a second.
That's good, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, is that my cue for
yeah,
the next segment?
Yeah, do you want to sweep? Like, come on.
Oh.
Ooh, the sports trench.
I started smooth like a Camelon ski.
This is coming up in the review that I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to sort this out. Jesus. Anyway, all right. So a couple of questions and what we learned from week one of finals. Where to for the Broncos from here, lads?
I think just
to Mad Monday.
Yes, yeah.
No, they went. It was a very muted Mad Monday. They already went.
Oh.
Apparently didn't go very well.
So actually did they go and people just were not allowed to talk.
Yeah.
To each other.
That was it, yeah.
Sitting at the bar, sipping down a skooey.
Sounds pretty boring.
Sounds like your ideal Monday, Fulzy.
Yeah, it does actually, in a way. Look. Stay the course, I think. I think I genuinely do. You've got to wait for Darry B and McCullough's contracts to come up.
Well,
get rid of them.
They can leave.
Yeah, but no one's going to pick them up.
Nope.
And look, some of the young forwards have shown a fair bit. People, yes, they got flogged. Should they have been flogged like that? Probably not. But they're not that good. And they've got a lot of young guys. To make finals isn't the worst thing. Yeah, it ended badly, but... a couple of the guys in their forwards had bigger impacts and bigger years than probably we thought they might. Like Fifita and Haas in particular were probably much better, certainly, than I thought and came along a lot quicker. But, yeah, I think stick the course, wait for some of those guys to go.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree that, yes, they have a young squad and so there are going to be issues there with them winning games and being able to stay in games. And they've invested a lot in their young forwards who are really, really good. But forwards, probably it's a little bit more difficult to be consistent week in, week out when you're that young. Like, it's a hard thing to do and you don't have anyone there as a sort of a forward leader. Like, you look at the Cowboys and a lot of those young forwards had Matt Scott there. You know, someone who'd been there for a long time at the highest level who could, you know, help those guys week in, week out, show them sort of the ropes and stuff like that. And when things were tough, what would happen? Broncos don't have anyone like that. Like Alex Glenn, but he's been playing in the centers most of the year.
Yeah. And
he's not one of the big guys in the middle of the pack.
Like, and same with
they
Gillette.
Let go of, yeah. They let go of like Josh McGuire, maybe someone who had a bit of mongrel who could... you know, lead that pack around a little bit and things like that, and that's just all gone. As for their backs, though, I think their back line is horrendous.
Yeah, it's awful. It's, like, legitimately awful.
Like, I think other than you go, like, Fifita, who was playing a little bit of centre initially but now is in the forward pack, you go, who do you keep? Like, maybe Izarco? Oh, well, Oates you probably keep. But maybe Izarco, and then you go, I don't know if we keep anyone else.
Oh,
but
you keep, what's the centre? He's been pretty much their best player all year. Yeah, you keep Staggs. Like, he's been their best player all year.
So, you go Staggs and maybe Oates, and then outside of that, I wouldn't keep Milford.
Reports this week that they've granted Jack Bird to go and speak to all the other clubs.
Yeah,
he was quite good to start.
Exactly, he was quite good. I think they're, like, it's his... contract is too big. That's the reason they're saying that.
Yeah,
he's on too big a money, and so that's why they want him to go. But I think that's going to come back and bite him in the butt anyway. So
you mentioned Izarco. I think Izarco is a huge part of this problem. In that, I think the Broncos were hoping for him to have a really, really good year and be able to slot into that fullback so they could still keep Milford in the halves. And he had a poor year, in my opinion. And he just, if he had have been able to step up, I think they would have been much better for it.
Is Derry B going around? He's got one more year left.
He might have two.
He can't go 2 more years. Going to 5'8" will help him to maybe potentially get those 2 years.
The rumor is he's not even in the squad next year.
I don't think so. Either. And honestly, like he
I'd
was.
I'd play out Q Cup. I'd really.
Oh, for that money, yeah. God, yeah. Far out.
I'm not giving him the satisfaction.
Yeah.
You signed the contract bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I suppose then he's got to go and still got to train every week and turn up every week for Q Cup. Like,
oh well.
You could be still getting that money and then sitting on a beach somewhere.
I don't know. Did you see Dave Taylor when he last played Q Cup?
He looked like you.
Exactly. So I don't know how much training's involved.
Yeah, well, that's true. Mm-hmm. I don't think Derry B will get to Dave Taylor. You never know.
Anyway. All right. Second question. Gallen. It's about Paul Gallen.
It's a
how do
statement.
We feel about him going out a loser?
Happy. He's one of those guys that everyone loves to hate, and even, you know, we're all apart from Fulsey, we're New South Welshmen, and we love what he brought to State of Origin from a New South Wales point of view. But he's a very polarizing player, and I'm not, he had a good career. I'm not sorry to see the back of him, and I'm just not a huge Sharks fan, to be honest, in general. So him being the leader of that Sharks team, then, you get, so be it.
It's a funny storyline that's doing the rounds, going out a loser. Like, he was always going to go out a loser. The Sharks weren't winning the grand final.
We'll see.
Yeah, right. That's my opinion on that, Pete.
What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, whatever.
good question.
Yeah. Okay, so how do we feel about the Rabbitohs and how do we feel about the Storm? We'll start with the Rabbitohs.
How do we feel about the Rabbitohs in a Storm? Just rabbits in a storm.
That would be so awesome.
Just Ray rabbits in a storm?
That'd be amazing. I'm picturing rabbits just flying around in a hurricane.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Ray rabbits, like Warren, in like...
Oh, in a storm. Hurricane, yeah. But multiple of them. Wow, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, he gets picked up in a hurricane and then, as per usual, just names it incorrectly. Yeah. Oh, it's a hurricane. No, it's a cyclone, Ray. Yeah. Effective from some whirly weather system.
Oh dear. So how do we feel about the Rabbitohs?
I think I like them this week. I don't like them for the rest of the season. I think they'll get the win this week, but then I think, yeah.
There was a man who said that they were done.
Yes. Pretenders.
On this podcast.
I said 2 weeks and then out. So if they lose this week, that's correct. And yeah, I can't see
them losing this week.
I reckon they're going. Eh?
No, I reckon they.
That's because they're playing your plucky Manly.
I reckon they smack Manly this week. I reckon they really do.
Nah. I think Manly's fairy tale run's going to have to come to an end sometimes
with the grand final, with the premiership.
So you'd rather lose the rather make Manly lose the grand final.
What?
No, he said a premiership.
With a premiership?
No, then that is definitely not happening.
No, I know. But I do think they might beat South this week. I was never in on South. I'm still not in on South. That's my opinion.
Yeah, look, they didn't inspire in week one. They would need to have a big win this week and then really get up for a prelim final, which, look, if they win this week, they've got then the Raiders who... haven't been here for a while, whereas South have been here the last couple of years. And experience does count for a lot in big games.
That's true.
The Raiders could find it a little difficult in a game like that.
And the Raiders, but I mean, I don't think any...
I think if Manly get through, I think it's the same thing, though. I think whilst Manly have probably a little bit more experience, they've got a lot of guys as well that have got zero experience. But I would see them handling that a bit better than the Raiders. So, yeah, anyway. All right, the Storm. How do we feel about them? Do we think...
Still think they're the team to beat, to be honest, in this final series. It'll be a juicy matchup, potentially Storm v the Roosters in the semi-final, which...
God, I hope the Eels win this week somehow and just everyone just goes, what just happened?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't think
That'll be the reaction. What just happened? Like the Storm got bounced in 2 weeks?
Well, I don't think, I mean, I don't have any stats on this, but thinking back, I don't know whether the Storm have lost two in a row in a very, very long time. And I can't see it happening now. I think Bellamy is that sort of guy that really, really gets the most out of his team after a loss, probably more than any other coach. And again, they don't have that many of them in to start with. Look, I still think the Storm are the real deal, and I still think that majority of the teams that are left in the finals still think that they are the team to beat.
Yeah, I agree. I seem to remember, I could be wrong, but I reckon the Jeremy Smith, Wayne Bennett Knights might have bounced the Storm into many years back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think maybe.
The cross tattoo on his elbow, yeah, Jeremy Smith.
Yeah, mm. Jezza.
Okay, right. Right. So then the final question is, can Manly do it again?
Oh, Fulzy.
Oh, God, yeah. What a redundant question.
No, I don't think they can.
Nah, I think you're wrong.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, probably, you know, on...
tonight.
Tonight. Yeah, we'll know tonight.
Yeah.
Mm, anyway. All right, moving on to finals week two preview time.
I'm not going on a sweep, Pete. We're just going to go straight in.
Oh,
it.
Really? Why is that?
Oh, because I don't have one.
The sports trench. Hmm.
Did you say the sports trench and then...
Yeah,
yeah, that did. Was weird.
Yeah,
no, it was good.
No, it wasn't.
That's a sweep.
That's real bad. That's going in my review. Okay. Friday, 20 September, Rabbitohs versus Seagulls at ANZ. Muffy.
Yeah, so for the Rabbitohs, they welcome back Captain Sam Burgess from suspension, although he did have a bit of a dig at the NRL judiciary this week. Got a little bit of... Did he get any slap on the wrist or fine or anything?
I haven't seen anything since.
No, but...
There was rumours going around that he would.
Look, in the end, Sam, if you don't do things that you get reported for, then you won't have to go see them.
Yes.
That's pretty
simple. He's probably ruining their lives, those poor people in the judiciary. I can imagine their wives like, oh, you can't come to my parents for dinner, but you can see Sam every 2 weeks, can't you?
Wow.
Poor judiciary members.
Is that Mrs. Butner saying that?
She's had enough. She's had it.
What do you reckon her first name is? Nancy? Yeah, Nancy Butner?
100%.
Yeah, let's go.
Or Libby, maybe.
Libby's
a fiery. They just get cranky at everything. I think we've broken
him. Look at him. You can't see this at home.
So
but he's
upset.
He's head in his hands. He's rubbing his eyes. He's sighing. Here it comes.
You two need to move on, and I want to use a stronger word, but this is a family-friendly show. Let's just get this done.
All right. So, as we mentioned, Pete, Sam Burgess is back. Dane Gago also comes back from a hamstring injury, so he will go into the centres. Obviously, Burgess goes into the second row. Jaden Sewer is the one that drops out to the reserve bench. Campbell Graham will move back out to the wing with Gago coming into the centres. Corey Allen drops out of the side altogether. Tom Burgess will also start in this game. And he swaps with George. He goes back to the bench. The only two players that have actually been admitted from this side are Kyle Turner and Dean Britt from last week. For Manly, Marty Tapau is back, which I thought he got longer suspended. So that's a huge boost for Manly. It's something that they really... really desperately need for this game. So as a result, the debutant, as Fulzy mentioned, Sean Kippy goes back to the bench, and Tafoa Sipley goes out of the side altogether. That's their literally their only in, which is a big for them. ANZ Stadium, Rabbitohs. It's been one of their home grounds this year. I think, as mentioned before, I see Manly not being able to get up for this week rather than South being the dominant team. I think there will be a bit of fatigue. Possibly, I think Manly might have put a fair bit into last week's game, which you can understand. The Rabbitohs will have a little bit to prove. I think this will be a tight one, but I think I've going to go to the Bunnies by 6.
Rabbitohs by 12. I think they're going to kill them.
I think the Bunnies will be in Bali this time next week. Seagulls by 2.
In a hurricane in Bali?
Possibly.
Mm, right. Okay. All right, moving on then to Saturday, 21 September, Storms versus the Eels at Amy Park, Foolsie.
The Eels have resisted making changes to last week's team, despite five starters and three bench forwards all failing to score against Brisbane. The Storm are also unchanged.
So eight players didn't score.
Yeah, eight players.
They should have been sacked.
Yeah, they should be gone.
That's very disappointing.
Yeah, but no changes apparently. Well, same for the Storm, they're unchanged. It's hard to go against a team that just won 58-0, but for me, it's even harder to go against Melbourne, and I've got them by eight.
Yeah, look, I think the Storms are going to come out and really bounce back this week, and the Eels have been known to be very inconsistent. Shout out to how good Manu Ma'u's been playing since he's been back from injury.
He kicked the goal this
weekend.
He did.
He kicked the goal, the last goal of the match, and he's been playing fantastic.
He's had a great year since he's come back from injury.
Yeah, he has. He was a little slow to start, but it's always difficult when you're coming back from injury. But he is absolutely destroying people on that right edge at the moment. I wouldn't want to be going up against him, that's for sure.
No, true. Look, I think this game will be tight for about 60 minutes and then Melbourne will just go away with it. So I'm going to do Melbourne by 10.
Nice.
All right. I don't know if I gave a score, did I? Storms by 10.
10?
We'll go 10. I don't know. Whatever.
Afterthought.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. All right. Moving on, shall we, to Simona says Grevis should gamble. So, but your timing is horrendous.
Thank you. That's your cue to talk now, Pete.
No, I'm refusing.
I'll just keep this sexy music happening. This is called a bed, for everyone who doesn't know.
A bed.
Yeah, where the music just keeps flowing.
Ah, there you go. I learnt something today.
This is the worst. All right, so Foolsy.
Yes.
Bets last week.
Yes.
How'd you go?
Pretty bad, thanks. How about yourself?
Pretty good, thanks.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Muffy and I both got up.
Yeah. $1.01?
No, $2.40 and $2.36, somewhere.
Well, yeah, so who's, was either $2.40 or was either $2.36?
Yeah, $2.36.
Oh, ooh. You just bit me. All right, I need to call that back this week.
Don't you worry.
Call back my 4 cents.
I'm in front. So, I need, Foolsy, have you got a bet for us this week?
I do. I'm going to go try catch up. So, I've got a bit of a sneaky one.
Right.
I've got Seagulls
yep.
into Josh Adokar anytime try scorer. And that will get me 51.3 to 10.
Right. So Seagulls to win and Josh Adokar to score anytime.
Yes.
Okay. That's
that'll
not,
get you
that's
what?
Not horrible.
Oh,
$5. $5.13 to 1.
$5. Right. Okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Look, mine is of a similar ilk.
Ooh.
I had Josh Adokar anytime try scorer.
Ooh.
However, I'm going to have that into the Storm to win.
Okay.
Into the Rabbitohs.
Ooh, now we're talking. That's interesting. That's pretty dumb, but it's interesting.
What do you mean it's dumb?
Rabbitohs.
So, they're my predictions for this week.
How much you got?
So, look, that one is only going to get you about $3. It was about $3 yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Significantly less than
yes,
my brilliant...
But I've already got $20, so if that one gets up,
yeah,
I've got 24, then I'm up to 54, I'd still be in front of you.
That's true.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm better than you. That's basically where we're at. All right, Muffy, what do you got for us? Still coming up with it, aren't you?
No, yeah, yes, I am. But I've got something. All right, I'm going to go a little bit more this week. So I'm going to do, I like the old win try combo, but I'm going to mix it up. So I'm going to say Brendan Elliott to score a try, but South Sydney to win.
Whoa, that's bad. That is disgusting.
I don't like either of those, but yes, go on. Is that it?
You bet on one of those.
You bet South Sydney to win?
Yeah.
No, I don't like on Brendan Elliott.
You don't like him?
No.
Who would you think out of Manly would score then?
Because Ruben Garrick.
I'd put $1 million on Garrick.
$1 million? Well, too bad we didn't
win
the
lotto. So $650 for...
those two?
Ruben Garrick's $420. No.
Nah,
it's
not
worth it. Let's live dangerously.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Brendan Elliott, $650.
He'll get over, don't worry.
For him to score and...
No, so then Manly's going to win.
Smokey? Waddell. He's a smoky.
Waddell, what's he playing?
Let me see. In the side?
Yeah, he's in the starting second row.
No, he's not.
Waddell and Goswesky.
Well, Goswesky is $9. But that's for... that's for Manly to win. For him to score and Manly to win, he's $9.
That's free money.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
That's a giveaway.
No.
Corey Waddell is $11.
That's also a giveaway.
So, Garth is on your wavelength.
Yeah.
My word. Right. Oh, no, Foolsies. That's unlucky.
Foolsies. Manly.
Yep.
1-12.
Correct.
Ruben Garrick, anytime try scorer.
Correct.
Over 38.5 total match points.
Yeah, I can see it.
Manly, 5-8 halftime margin.
Yep.
81 houses for one house.
Yeah, that's easy money.
All right. That's that one. Free money. Over 30.5 in that game, South Manly.
Yep.
And Seagulls plus 12.5. That is free money. $2.13.
These are interesting odds we get on those ones. They're very...
It's free money.
Yeah. Very good odds for the, what they are.
Free. Speaking of which, Garth's Facebook page, League Legends, is free for all at the moment. So you can go check it out and see how many winners he tips every weekend. Him and his mate. I think there's another guy on there.
Very good.
Go check it out. League Legends.
Hit it up. Facebook.
Very good.
Mm. Yes, and thank you to Garth every week for doing that for us. All right, boys, that brings us to the end of the show. We're done. That's it.
Yay.
Enjoy the football this weekend. No Raiders, so there's no point in watching, really.
That's right. But it is a shout-out to anyone who wants to jump on the wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Pete's happy to have you.
Look, absolutely. Jump on our bandwagon, for sure. Mm-hmm.
You can jump on the Panthers one as well, but I don't know why you would. So. But it's your choice.
Look, it's
a good
offer.
NBA's coming up. Timberwolves bandwagon?
No.
Okay.
No.
They're bad things.
Oh, right.
Your owner's bad things.
Yeah, he is pretty bad.
Mm. So anyway. All right. Well, thanks very much for listening, everybody. Enjoy the weekend.
Bye.
Bye.